right, as you can see, we're in a message series entitled, We Are Family. This is the third message of this series. If you missed the first two, is this the third or the fourth? This is the third.
It's the third.
If you missed the first two, you can go to our website, our podcast, and listen. I encourage you to do that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 8 today. This is Pastor Richard. Richard, say what's up to everybody.
What's going on, everybody? You guys doing okay this morning? All right, let's try that again. How are you guys doing? There you go. Pretty good. How about that side? How are y'all doing? That's pretty good.
I'm hungry right now. You hungry, bud?
Are you? What are you feeling? You want Longhorn. I already know what you want. You would say that every day.
Luke chapter 8. Let's move on. Luke chapter 8. We're going to leave Luke 8. Then we're going to flip over to John 19. We're going to see Jesus really redefining what family is. Good. You got to think about, he's saying this in a culture where family was everything. Yeah. Natural family. This is how you survive. But Jesus here is beginning to talk about really the institution or what you call church family. Luke chapter 8, he says, then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Again, natural family is so important. You would think Jesus would be he would quickly get up and to see them. But what does he say? But he answered, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Some versions say practice it. John 19, here's Jesus hanging on the cross. Verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple, this is John. John's talking about himself here. Whom he loved, John's bragging on himself, standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Talking about John. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Pastors, we're going to be talking about becoming a church or a spiritual family this morning. It's going to be fun.
You know, one of the things that is difficult about a message about family is because not all of us came from the best family. Matter of fact, some of us came from a hard or a difficult or even what some may call a dysfunctional family. Maybe the family that you grew up in was chaotic. It was a little crazy. Everybody say it was crazy.
Crazy.
Your previous experience with family may change the way you see spiritual family. It also, your spiritual family, if you have been in church in your life before in the past, maybe the spiritual family that you used to be a part of could have been a little crazy, could have a little been a dysfunctional, could have caused more hurt or more harm than good.
So
and the way that you see church could be changed or altered just because of that. And we're going to talk today is it's not just being in a family. All of us were born into a natural family.
Yeah.
But just because you were born into the family doesn't necessarily mean you became family. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how it's not that easy to become family. We're going to talk about several things today. One of them is we're going to define family based on how Jesus defined family. We're going to talk about how do you actually become a family. And lastly, and most importantly, we're going to talk about how to act like a family.
Hardest part.
Because many of us can be in a family, but we don't know how to act like family. And that oftentimes gets us in trouble. And we're going to kind of use a little analogy just to get us started. Now, imagine that you're married or you're getting married or maybe you're engaged or you're in the process of dating. Think about this. You're thinking about creating a brand new family. It did not exist. You used to be a part of that family. They used to be a part of that family. But when you talk about bringing each other together, you're really starting a brand new family. You have to learn what it means to become a new family.
Hard, champ.
It is. Now, think about this. Now, you and your wife are married. When you guys first got married,
oh, Lord. Why are you taking me back there?
How did you guys do when you became a family?
I told First Service this, Pastor. I said it was a collision of wills. A collision of two wills coming against
a collision.
One
that's
another.
Funny because a lot of times there's this old saying that when two people get together romantically, they call it a mingling of the souls.
But it was a collision, baby.
It was a collision.
A collision of wills. She had her own life, I had my life. It was different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when we got married, she wanted to go to bed early. Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay up late because the football game was still on.
Right.
Collision of wills. when we got up in the morning, for some crazy reason, she wanted to make the bed before we left. And I'm thinking, babe, we're going to get back right back in about 10 more hours. Why are we going to make the bed? Collision of wheels. She wanted to watch cooking shows. I want to watch wild animals kill each other. Collision of wheels. Talk about something my wife never wants to watch. She hates watching wild animals kill each other.
Somehow the opposites attract, like they a good do, Paula yeah. Abdul song.
She left her shoes everywhere. I pick mine up and put them where they're supposed to be every single day and every single night. So the first year was very chaotic. There was a lot of fights, a lot of disappointments, a lot of arguments. It really took humility for us to work through those things. And as I look back, and this is really going to apply to when we talk about spiritual family. Becoming family for Dee and I was not a pretty process. In fact, it was ugly at times. Married folk, can I get an amen? It was ugly at times. So now since you made me expose myself, what about you, Champion? What about you and Shannon? Mine was a collision of wheels. What was yours?
Ours was it was kind of a collision of flavors. It's because kind of like coming to Bethel Community Church, you have people from all different walks of life, people who look differently than you, they dress different than you, they live in different places in the community, they're from different backgrounds, and that was kind of the way it was for Shannon and I. Shannon came from Knoxville. I came from very rural West Tennessee. Right. She was from the city. I was from the country. She came from what was called a nuclear family. She had her mom and dad, they were married for about 40 something years. And then I came, when I grew up, it was a single mom and I had a brother. So I had a very small family. She had a large family. She had three sisters she had two sisters and a brother. And to be honest, it was so different. So when we got together, one of the first things that we noticed was the way our palates reacted to one another.
Taste buds were different.
She liked different food than I like. Her food was different than the world that I came up in.
She definitely likes condiments. She likes ketchup, mayonnaise.
That nasty mess.
Mustard. You
gross.
Don't like any of that,
no.
Champ.
No, ranch, none of that. That's Alfredo
how
sauce.
How can you not like ranch, Champ? It's like the greatest thing in the world.
It's gross. It's sick. It's just.
What do you put on your salad? Vinaigrette?
A vinaigrette or oil and vinegar.
Trying to be healthy. Keep going.
Come on now. Now, so one of the ways that this stood out the most was when we ate popcorn. How many like popcorn in there? Everybody like popcorn. So popcorn is good. And you would think something so delicious and so simple would not bring a division between two newly married couples. But it caused us some chaos because she just wanted popcorn that, a little salt, a little butter, and she thought it was delicious. But that was not the way that I like popcorn. So when I got it out of the microwave, I'm putting hot sauce, I'm putting Parmesan cheese on it. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, just try it. So she tried
it
out.
First of all, you're not going to get any kisses because that makes your breath really stink.
But here's a lesson in marriage. If you both have stank breath, it's okay.
That's true.
It cancels each other out. Right?
But she was not trying it.
So, Champ, so when she tried the popcorn, there were flavors and taste buds she'd never used before.
It's like she got born again.
It was like a revelation. And she saw my side of things, and it was that collision of flavors coming from two different worlds. And it's kind of like that in spiritual family as well.
They're definitely, for natural family, for marriage, for spiritual family, you got to be willing to give up some things. We talk about this a lot here at Bethel, especially as a diverse church. Your views, your expectations of what family's supposed to be, whether it's a natural family, and even as we'll see, when it comes to a new family, like a spiritual family, sometimes you got to be willing to give up some things so that you can really connect to the family that God's called you to be a part of. And Pastor Richard, as we see here, it's not always easy. Embracing families, spiritual family is difficult.
It's never easy. It's always a process. And think about this. When we become a part of the kingdom of God, when we come to church maybe for the very first time, there's a million little micro thoughts and micro decisions that go through our mind that we may not voice out loud, but they're going through our head. We start to think things like, is this church going to be like how I think it should be?
This is why we're getting ready on Sunday morning.
Exactly. We think about, we've got an expectation of what we think church is supposed to look like. So if I grew up Roman Catholic, or if I grew up Protestant, or if I grew up this way or that way, I automatically think I know how church is supposed to flow. And so when I walk into a place like Bethel Community Church, I start thinking, how close do I want to get to this church? Or how close do I want this church to get to me? How involved with this church do I want to be? How involved do I want them to be with me? Will I give? Will I serve? Will I let them serve me? All of these little questions start to come into mind when we start to go to a church for the first time or maybe for the first little while, because it may be different than the way that we grew up. And what do we do if there are conflicts inside the church? How am I supposed to look like those? How am I supposed to answer those conflicts in my mind? Think about this one for a second. How do I respond to a church during a pandemic? Am I going to continue to go to that church? Am I going to stay at home? Do I let my children come? Do I keep them far apart? And how can I continue to be a part of the body of Christ, a spiritual family, during all this? And especially, as we said earlier, if your natural family was chaotic or if your natural family was dysfunctional, how do I now come into this new spiritual family that Jesus has put me in, and how do I function normally inside of that?
I want you to share that story, Champ. You shared first service just about because your dad wasn't in the picture growing up, how when you stepped into the church family that you actually learned so much about being a husband, so much about being a dad by watching other men in that church family.
Yeah, again, so like when I grew up, it was just my mom, my brother, and myself. And so I didn't have the example of what a father was. I didn't have the example of what a wife was to look like, or even how kids are supposed to interact with their parents. And so when I got born again, I gave my life to Jesus when I was 25 years old. And I came to church, and one of the first things I started to do is watch everyone. Good. Just let you know, there are people watching you right now. That's how we are oriented as people. We watch. When you walk in to a grocery store, to a restaurant, you come into church with your family or by yourself, everyone is watching you. And that's exactly what I did. I looked at families. You have a family of seven. My first thought would have been, dear God, how does he do that? Right?
I wondered the same thing, Sam.
And I still wonder the same thing. And I watch a family like his, and I'm like, oh, the way he talks to his wife, that and her reaction, that must be the way that a wife is supposed to respond to a husband and the way a husband is supposed to interact with a wife. And I watch the kids, right? And I watch you with your kids, and you watch me with my kids. And if you beat your kids in Walmart, wow. If I'm growing up and I'm thinking I see this, then that must be the way people are supposed to treat people. Or if that's the way my parents did it, or if I see people. So it's so important that when you come into a place like church, that you remember this is part of a spiritual family. It doesn't mean that you have to have everything together, but realize that God placed us together for a reason and for a purpose. Can somebody say amen to that?
It was so great about all these questions that Pastor Richard asked. Will I serve? Will I be a par? How will I resolve conflict? What's great is that the Word of God, this is important, answers all of those questions for us. Therefore, what we cannot do is allow our past experience or allow what I think it should be like. We have to look at what does the Word have to say when it comes to being connected to a church family. Because what the Word of God does, the Word of God removes all of our feelings, all of our expectations, all of our desires, and what we think it should look like. And it gets so, the Word of God gets right down to the nitty-gritty, basically saying, be connected. We're going to see this. The importance of you as a follower of Jesus being connected to a spiritual family. Because the Word of God is clear. We're going to see this, Pastor Richard, in John chapter 19, that God talks about that as Christians, we don't follow Jesus alone. That's now, right. I know that sounds foreign in today's society, because we think we're independent. We think we do everything by ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's just me and Jesus, or me and my family and Jesus. That's contradictory to what the Word of God has to say. So, Pastor Richard, help us with John 19.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a look at this in John 19. So maybe you can look at this in your Bible. If you're watching online, thank you again for joining us. We just want to let you know what Jesus says in this Word. He says that Jesus, he saw his mother. This is John 19. He saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved was standing nearby. Think about what he said. Woman, here is your son. Jesus was about to go on the cross. And think about this. His mother was going to be left alone in a sense. His mother was going to be left without a son. Yeah, and to the disciple, he said, here is your mother. And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. What Jesus was doing was redefining family. Think about this for a second. Redefining family. And he communicated that our lives are interconnected with other people who follow Jesus.
Good.
That means that we are not alone in this world as followers of Jesus Christ. That's why I can go on a mission trip and I can see believers and we have a common bond, a common unity. The Bible is clear that you do not follow Jesus alone by yourself. That's one of the greatest things about a local church if you're in the military, is that if you are a follower of Jesus, your parents or your family may be far, far away, but you can walk into a local church and you instantly have a connection with those who are like-minded.
And I felt that even as a college student when I gave my life to Christ.
Really?
My parents did not live where I was when I attended university, but that church family, same church family you were in, Pastor Richard and I was in the same, we got born again in the same church in Murfreesboro as Pastor Ron was the lead pastor there. But they became that family that I did not have. And so it's military, community, it could be anywhere.
You know what? So the natural flesh in us wants to do life alone. Many of you guys remember back in the 80s and early 90s, there was this movie called Rambo. They had Rambo 1,
yeah, love
Rambo 2, and Rambo 3, and then it came out, he's like 80 years old,
Damn, that was
and
awful.
He's still taking on armies by himself.
That movie was horrible.
You loved
almost
it.
Almost turned it off. It was so bad.
And the thing, about Rambo is that Rambo was a one-man army.
Yeah.
He could get dropped in the middle of Afghanistan. He could have his bazooka. He could have a rifle. He could have a Bowie knife. And he was going to take over and decimate the entire opposing army. Now, the problem with Rambo, as cool as it was to watch it, Rambo was not real.
Yeah.
The thing about it, though, is most of us realize that, but we operate like Rambo. We have a Rambo mentality.
Right.
I don't need anybody else. I can do all of this. We can be a single mom. We can be a doctor, a lawyer. We can be a soldier, and we still have a Rambo mentality. And what God wants us to do when we read Scripture is to realize that Rambo must die.
Come on, let's say that together. Rambo must die. One more time. Rambo must die.
That mentality to desire to do it our way by ourselves, that has to go away. And it really takes the Spirit of God coming and showing us Scripture and realizing that He has interconnected our lives with other people.
And as He connects us to this church family, here's what Jesus does. This is good. Jesus draws a circle, or really a larger circle. This is what He's doing here in Luke 8 and John 19. He draws a larger circle around the definition or around the word family. For Jesus, and you see this over and over and over again, Jesus did not simplify the definition of what family is. Jesus complicated this word family. He does this. He does this in numerous ways. He did this with all the laws in the Old Testament. He said, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. Talking about physical action, adultery. But Jesus said, if you look at someone with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. He expanded. He made it more complicated.
That's right.
This is exactly what Jesus is doing here to us. He is making family more complicated. But just because it's more complicated, it doesn't mean that we run away from it. What Jesus also does is He expands our heart's capacity and our ability to show love to people who may be the exact opposite of us.
That's so cool.
Those who may not look like us, act like us, eat like us. He enlarges our circle or our capacity to love. For instance, Pastor Rich, we got more brothers and sisters in Christ because we're believers.
Exactly. Now, think about this. Now, Pastor Lance, he has one natural brother. Now, in the natural, he has one brother, but spiritually, he has many brothers. Now, take my life for example. I grew up with one brother. My brother passed away at the age of 39, but I have spiritual brothers. As a matter of fact, God has connected me to him to be my brother.
Come on.
If you're in this room, you are connected by something larger than yourself. You have brothers and sisters. If you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you may not know them that well. They may look different than you. They may eat different foods than you. They may like the hot sauce and the popcorn. You may hate that. But God has called us to walk together as a spiritual family.
He's called us to love and walk, just what he said, to walk together, but also to love one another.
Good.
So this is so important for us, guys. We've been talking about this throughout this message series. You guys know the tension that our nation is facing now. The racial tension, the upcoming election, all the things, how the pandemic has become basically politicized. How do you say that word?
Politicized.
Politicized. Mm-hmm. All
Crips
of this.
Versus blood.
But here we are as believers. Amongst all this chaos, here we, you and I are. Many of us from different cultures, different ethnicities. We like different things. Right. We may vote differently. We may eat differently. But Jesus has called us to walk together. Now, talk about complicated. Here we go. Jesus has called us to walk together as not just members of a local church.
Come on.
It's deeper than that. As a spiritual family. So what that means is if there is someone in this building that looks different than you, that votes different than you, that dresses different than you, you know what that is? That is a sign from Jesus to you that you are called to go and connect with that person or with that family and learn how to love them and serve them in a greater way.
Think about how, in my opinion, boring it would be if we all were the same. If we all looked, if we were a homogenous church, we all voted the same. We all lived in the same zip code. We all had the same type of job.
We would lack some flavors, brother.
Yeah, we would lack all kinds of flavor. Think about how that would not stretch us as believers in Jesus. It wouldn't allow us to see the full palette of what God has brought to humanity. Mm. Think about if you go to other countries, you see people worshiping differently. You see different expressions of worship.
Come on.
But if you only have one viewpoint in the world, think about how small your viewpoint on what the kingdom of God would look like.
Very small. And your viewpoint, Zach, of the kingdom of God and how God operates would be very small. So practically, how do we do this? Now, again, this is important for us as a church family. Because, I'll use myself and Pastor Richard as an example. Because we desire for God to build a diverse church through us in this community. And my hope is for that we, as we talk through this, that this is all of our desires. Because we desire for God to build this diverse church, that we have unity amongst diversity.
Good.
That's where we're going. That's what Bethel is all about, unity amongst diversity, loving one another, serving one another. Therefore, that means that Pastor Richard and I, really our whole team operates this way. We are very cautious
good.
On what we write on social media or what we say on social media, specifically about this political party or this person. Because we know there are people in this room that vote differently. We know that there's people in this room that are different sides when it comes to politics. Therefore, we don't lean either side. We lean to what the Word of God has to say. Because what we say could bring division when it comes to what we're trying to do as a local church.
Right.
Now, as an American citizen, friends, you have every right to do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. You can write whatever you want. But our hope is that you and I, again, because we are followers of Jesus first.
Right.
Now get this, Americans second.
Yeah.
Now we love America. Praise God for the United States of America and what our soldiers do to fight for this country. But we are believers and disciples first.
So
we're called to bring different cultures, different ethnicities, those from different backgrounds, those from different political. We're called to bring that together. Mm. Now, is it complicated? You better believe it's complicated. But it's fun because this is what the kingdom of God is all about. So we're cautious in what we say, what we don't say. Now, we're not afraid. Hear me. Yeah. We address, if you listen to things we say, if you go back and listen to our Life 360s, things we talk about the issues. We talk about topics that are difficult to discuss. Why does Pastor Richard and I, why do we stand up or why do we talk about that we are for life, that we believe that abortion is detrimental? Why do we talk about that? Why do we talk about that marriage is between one man and one woman? We talk about that because that is biblical truths, friends, that come from the Word of God.
Yeah.
Hear me. Those two things, that is a biblical, those two things are biblical truths,
right.
Not political platforms.
That's right.
A certain party did not come up with those two truths.
That's right.
The Word of God, this thing right here,
come on.
Came up with that.
Good.
That abortion is detrimental, that we should be for life. That marriage is between one man and one woman. This is what the Word of God stands for.
Right.
Therefore, this is what we stand for. We believe all churches now, they got to make their own decisions, other churches. But we have chosen to stand because this is what the Word of God supports. Not a certain political party. I don't know what a political party is going to support. I really don't care. I care about this right here.
Amen.
I care about what God's Word has to say. And so many times what we see is we see politicians stealing things, maybe not stealing it, but using it. And people think just because we may talk about that we're being political. We're not being political. Right. We're being biblical. Yeah. We're standing on eternal truths that will not change because we serve a God who does not change. Right. Complicated, Pastor Richard, but hey, if we're going to be a diverse church, if we're going to be a church that's going to hold to these biblical truths, we have to talk about the difficult things.
And that's a lot to take in, but we have to remember why we are here. If we are called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to remember that we're not here to build a legacy for ourselves. That means that you may have the best argument for the First Amendment, or you may have the best argument for a political purpose, but if your argument creates division in the body of Christ, it puts up walls between you and other people, you have to remember, is that exactly what Christ has called you to do? Our life is not about shouting or venting our opinions to the world. As a believer, now think about this. There's a presupposition by what I'm about to say. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus, as a child of God, as a child of the Most High God, I have a higher calling for my life, for my spiritual family. It is to exalt Christ, not a political party, not a platform, not a stance. It's only the Word of God. There was a song that came out recently. Listen to the words. It says, I do not want to leave a legacy. I don't even care if they remember me. Wow. Think about that for a second. I don't even care if they remember who I am, only Jesus. Amen. I've only got one life to live, and I'll put every second and point to him, only Jesus. Now, I know all of this is hard because we're in a great nation. It's a beautiful nation. We have the affordability to be able to say whatever we want to. The thing about it, it's hard, but these difficulties are issue. Talking about all the stuff that we're talking about, this is part of what makes family family. If we can't talk about hard things, we'll never be able to become family. Think about the families who don't deal with issues. Think about the families who sweep things under the rug. And year after year, month after month, they just become the elephant in the room that nobody talks about. Okay. That is not becoming family. Sometimes in the local church, we have to deal with issues at the core so we can put the things outside the church in their rightful place and the things inside the church in their rightful place.
Too strong. So Pastor Richard, help us then. So we're going to, as we close here, becoming family, we got to become family to act like family. So how does that happen for us?
Two things. The first one is walk in humility. Humility simply means is that I have to recognize that I need other people in my life, that God has not called me to walk through this life alone, but I have to desire and need and even search out other people to be a part of my life. And the second thing is one of the greatest and one of the hardest is I have to serve one another. One of the things that my wife loves for me to do, and one of the things I hate to do, is wash dishes. But I did her, champ, I did her a solid.
I like doing that, though.
I know. You can come in my house and wash dishes. So I did what any good husband would do on her birthday this past week or so, is I washed the dishes, and I time-lapse video myself washing dishes, and I posted it all over social media so that she and all her friends would know that I served her. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I didn't watch it. So you we do. We have this opportunity to serve one another, but also to serve our community. You know, we've been, so it's been 9 weeks now since we started church back up, 10 weeks, Vince, something like that maybe?
Since May, end of May.
End of May. So when it comes to serving one another, we really, man, all our volunteer teams, because children's ministry, we haven't had children's ministry, these opportunities have been absent for the past couple of months. But now that we're ramping back up, I don't know what school systems are going to do. You know, supposed to make a decision this week. Are they going to go virtual only? I don't know what they're going to do. But we want to prepare for our church, or for our community to come back to church. Good. Thank you guys, first off. You guys that have taken that step, we so appreciate that. For those online, we desire for you to come back. So we're preparing for our church, for our community to come back to church, and our church family to come back. But as we got to prepare, because the Holy Spirit, I believe, is going to answer our prayers for people to come back. And so what we like to say here as a church is that we're a family expecting guests. Yeah. Coming to a church on a Sunday morning, there's a lot of obstacles in the way. You guys know when you first came here, all those questions Pastor Richard was talking about was going through your mind. You're wondering. So what our volunteer teams do is they tear down the obstacles that it takes from a person coming to a church, being connected to that church. This is what our volunteer teams do. First off, our Go Kids. We are, for all of our parents here and all of our kids, we're going to reopen Go Kids Children's Ministry on September the 13th. September the 13th, we're going to open up Go Kids. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to our regular scheduled service times on September the 13th as well. 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. It's been 9 and 10:30. We're going to go back to 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., and we're only going to have children's ministry available for the 11 a.m. service, okay? The 11 a.m. service, and so it takes about 30 volunteers to run one service in our children's ministry. So we have about probably 15 to 20 that have already said yes to being a part of reopening our Go Kids Children's Ministry on September the 13th. So we need you. Here in a moment, Pastor Vince is going to come up, and he's going to give opportunities for you, not just in our children's ministry. Why are we opening? Talk about that, Pastor Ridge, real quick before I go on. Why are we reopening our children's ministry? This is important.
We're reopening it primarily because children need the Word of God. Children need to be ministered to. We believe that when children come to this church, it's not just so we can babysit them. It's so that the Word of God can be implanted into their life. We believe the Word of God causes change. Can anybody say amen to that? That means that he doesn't just speak to adults. Nothing in this Bible says I'm only talking to people over the age of 30.
Right.
It doesn't. It means that the same Word of God that helped to change my life and maybe your life can also impact a child as well. And we believe that the next generation needs God's Word, probably more now than ever. And so that means we need help.
We have our protocols that we're going to follow. Those are going to be on our Facebook page. You can click there. Parents, you can read all the protocols that we will follow. We're also going to be reopening our cafe, all of our different volunteer teams. Again, Pastor Vincent is going to come up and talk more about that. But we also have an opportunity to reach our community here. Again, depending on the school system, this is kind of up in the air, but Pastor Richard, go ahead and share this opportunity.
Yeah, so there is a real possibility that our school system may make a decision relatively soon to make all Montgomery County schools all virtual. There is a real possibility of that. And if that takes place, we have been approached recently by the YMCA. The YMCA recently received a grant. And basically what that means is if all parents with school-aged children are required to basically put their kids in virtual school, that means if you're a stay-at-home mom, this does not work. That means if you're a parent, two parents, and you stay and you both have to work, this doesn't work for you. So what the YMCA is developing is a program where they can have community partners like the local church where kids can come during the day from 6:30 to 6:30 in p.m., and they can do virtual church or virtual school at a local place like the local church and have a camp type atmosphere. And so we've been approached to be one of those locations in our community. So what that means is if you are up in arms of what you're going to be able to do, you could sign up for that program, bring your child here to the local church, and they would have people, a full staff, they'd get food, it'd be everything that they need so that you as a parent could go to work.
We are going to have, as Pastor Richard just said, they're going to give us some spots. Now, the only thing is that we forgot to say this first service, but there is an age. Is it kindergarten through fifth grade?
K through five.
It is K through five only. But we're going to have those spots, and we'll find that all out if you want to register your child for this. They also are looking for workers. So if you'd like to work for the YMCA and do this, come talk to me. I had three people from first service already come up to us and say they were interested in seeing what's going to happen. Vince, come on up, Big Faith. So this is Vince, guys. Pastor Vince runs all of our, helps us with our volunteer teams. He's our campus director at Austin Peay State University, and he's going to lead us to getting involved in one of these volunteer teams. Go ahead, Big Faith.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm really excited as we approach the fall. There's lots of different things that we're going to resume doing and some things that we're going to begin doing. As a church, our vision has always been to reach the next generation. You've heard this morning a little bit about Go Kids, our children's ministry, and the heart that we have to reach children with the gospel. You've heard in the past about Rush, our youth ministry, and the things that we're going to be doing as a church for our youth. And you've heard about the things that God is doing on our college campus here in Clarksville. This vision of reaching the next generation does not get accomplished by just a few people. It doesn't get accomplished by pastors. It gets accomplished when all of us come together and take the burden on and say that we're going to believe that God wants to do this in our community, that God wants to reach the next generation right here in Clarksville. We want to give you an opportunity this morning to sign up for all of the different ways that you can serve here at Bethel. Some of these ways are direct ministry opportunities like Go Kids or Rush. Some of these different opportunities are things that are more indirect, like welcoming people into our church on Sunday morning, serving a cup of coffee. Every single role is absolutely vital to seeing our community changed for Jesus. What I want to ask you to do right now is to take out your cell phone. You can take out your cell phone in church. If you could pull out your phone, I want to ask you to text the word SERVE to 931-253-1413. Text the word SERVE. Even if you're watching online at home and you plan on coming back, wherever you are, you can also go to bethelcommunity.church/opportunities, but text the word SERVE. You're going to see a list on here. You're going to get a response with a link. This link is going to list all of our different opportunities. This is what the page will look like. You probably can't see that from where you're sitting if you have eyes like mine. But there's all these different opportunities you can serve on our media team. We have a video production team that has become extremely important over the last several weeks. We have our worship team. Our cafe team serves coffee. Our children's ministry team, our greeters, our parking lot, our ushers, all of these different roles. I want you to take a few moments, just prayerfully consider, where has God called you to step up? And here's the thing, we're not asking you for a lifetime commitment. We're not asking you to sign up for the next year. We're asking you to just take a step and to see if God would fit you in to a particular role and to a particular responsibility here at Bethel. All of our team leaders know that you might not fit where you first sign up. And it's okay, we're open to you coming back to us and saying, hey, this isn't a fit for me, or I don't really like doing this. Even if it's after just a couple of weeks, we're just asking you to take a step, get in the game, and we'll see where God moves you as a result. So we'll take the next few minutes, go ahead and sign up for that on your phone.
Tremendous. Thank you so much, Vince. You know, Pastor Rich and I, as you guys are signed up, we're going to talk to all of our online. We're going to talk to the online audience this morning. Pastor Richard, go ahead, friend.
Yeah, first we just want to say again, thank you so much if you're online and you're watching us right now. We also want to let you know that you have an opportunity. Maybe you're thinking about coming back to church. You can sign up to serve at 931-253-1413 as well. Maybe when we begin again on September the 13th, that's your time. When